Vitayu, welcome to this week's feature presentation from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos, which airs weekly on AM and FM radio in Vancouver and Nanaimo, British Columbia, and of course, online. You can find program information, broadcast times, and links to the live streams and podcasts at our website, www.nashholos.com. But now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this feature interview, which was recently broadcast on the show. Ukrainian and Canadian duo Umagma reside in Ukraine, sometimes in Canada. One of the partners of that duo is Shauna McLarnon, and she is originally from the Yukon, where she grew up. And Shauna and Alex Kretov, her husband, are Umagma, a musical duo whose work actually defies categorization, but it is rapidly gaining popularity worldwide. It's based in Western Ukraine, and it's putting the country on the music world's map. Definitely a mainstream sound in that it's not ethnic, it's not ethno-pop, nothing like that. Umagma's music can loosely be called dream pop or perhaps pop rock, although it really is their own original blend of many different musical genres. They sing in English and have released two albums. A third is in the works and will soon be released. It is called Winter Tales. Shauna is Canadian, as I mentioned earlier, originally from Whitehorse, Yukon. She met her Ukrainian-born husband, Alex Kretov, at a rock concert in Moscow, and the rest, as they say, is history. They commute between Kremenets, which is Alex's hometown, where they have their home recording studio, and Chernobyl, in also Western Ukraine, where their young daughter attends school. I asked Shauna a couple of days ago, we spoke on Skype, and I asked her, as a Canadian expat living in Ukraine and raising a family with her Ukraine-born music partner, how does she spend December 25th, what we call English Christmas, you know, here in the Ukrainian community in Canada as well? That's what they call it in Ukraine. Also the Julian calendar or old calendar. And because in Ukraine, Christmas starts actually on Christmas Eve is January 6th, and Christmas Day is January 7th and goes on for about a month. And we caught up on Skype, and she told us all about how she celebrates Christmas as a Canadian in Ukraine, and also a little bit about their music, Umagma.
Well, first of all, I should say that you just listed an awful lot of names for December 25th. But they actually have two additional names for it here, which is the Western Christmas and the Catholic Christmas.
Huh.
Yeah. And so the funny thing about that is actually, as you know, there are two groups of Catholics in this country. There's the Roman Catholics and there's the Eastern Rite Catholics, which are closer to the Greek Orthodox Church. But so basically, this is definitely a Western, in this sense, a Western Christmas, because as I mentioned earlier, I was born Catholic, but I'm not a churchgoer. So all of our traditions basically are just within the family and our household. It's not really about going to church, but we see other people going to church on this day, and it's in the Roman Catholic Church. The cathedral is visible from our balcony, so I make a point of it every Christmas to go out on the balcony and watch them as they're coming out of church. That's just my own tradition. That's not a family tradition. But basically it's about, for us, it's a day I need off from work, and a lot of employers, because I work as a freelancer, and so it's really random what kind of orders I get and when I get them. Just translating Russian to English and proofreading English, basically texts, because they're a lot of the time they're written by non-native speakers, and a lot of times they're translated by other professional translators who were a little bit worried to hand off not a perfect document to their clients. So I get the day off on the 25th.
So it sounds like other expats, other Westerners living in Ukraine, you're saying that employers give them the day off December 25th?
I would say that no one really gets a day off unless they specifically request it, because it's not one of those days on the calendar that you get off automatically. That's reserved for the other Christmas and the New Year's. And there's, you know, depending on where you are and your employer, you might be getting like 3 or 4 days off, or you might be getting like 9 or 10 days off.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, at the beginning of January. So, but that's all in January. 25th here is a working day, and sometimes it falls on a weekend, and I don't actually have to ask any clients for time off. But it's not really asking for clients for time off, really. It's saying I'm not available on this day.
Right.
You know, because I'm my own employer, basically. But for clients that are longer term, where they say that, you know, we need this in 7 days and it's like a, you know, half a book or something like that, it's hard to explain to them that, okay, well, you have to extend this contract by 1 day because I need this 1 day off, basically. Family Traditions is basically all about Nika, our daughter. We stopped giving presents to each other just for, we don't have a lot of money right now. So we've decided it's not that important for us to give presents to each other on the 25th. We still do that once a year on New Year's, because that's the kind of tradition here, is to give those presents on New Year's. And so on the 25th, it's really all about my daughter, about the presents under the tree for her, and the family meal for us all together in the evening. And that's kind of funny, actually, because we spent Christmas Day with my mother-in-law in Kremenets. And on that day, she always makes a big meal for us. It doesn't resemble anything at all like a Canadian Christmas dinner would, but it's always still a nice feast. And it's always very, very quaint because it's just the four of us, myself, my husband, my daughter, Nika, and my mother-in-law. And she's a fantastic cook. So it's usually something more traditional Ukrainian, or it's roast beef or something like that. And then several different salads. Some of them are Russian salads, and I'm really big on Russian salads. And some of them are just kind of cross-border Ukrainian, you know, basically Slavic area salads, like vinaigrette and things like that. But cabbage, you know, cabbage salad. And it's fantastic in any case. And we usually have like a few bottles of wine.
Well, wine is always standard, isn't it? What about turkey? Have you ever had turkey? I remember a few years back, a friend of an acquaintance of mine had gone to Ukraine, and she just desperately wanted to find a turkey, and it was almost impossible.
It's really hard to find, and I know that recently there's like turkey breeding has become more popular in Ukraine. But, and like everyone tells me, oh, yeah, you can find it now. But I've never had success in finding it. I don't know where you have to look to find it. But generally, when someone does direct you to a place that's selling it, it's usually already cut up and sliced and everything like that. It's not like you're buying a whole turkey.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you do buy a whole turkey, you have to do it in the market, and it's not sold all the time. And it's not going to be local because it's not one of the local folk agricultural activities, basically, like raising chickens. Everybody does it, right? Mm-hmm. Raising turkeys is something that was imported. So it's something that's very localized in areas, I guess you could say, or with companies or small or medium-sized entrepreneurs that are doing it as a business for resale for things like sliced meat, sandwich meat, and stuff like that. So you can probably find it somewhere, and maybe even in the market, but I've just never personally seen it.
Hmm.
So I don't go out of my way to do that. I don't kind of emphasize that with my mother-in-law, or she'll probably run around the whole town, you know, searching up and down for this thing just to make, you know, Christmas-like home. And for me, the main thing is not really what we're eating anyways. It's never been about that. It's just the fact that we're gathering, we're relaxing, we've taken a day off, we're enjoying each other's company, and, you know, hanging out at home without any kind of stress or the need to accommodate anyone outside of the family.
Well, that's the true Christmas spirit. Certainly, it's not the kind of commercial Christmas that in North America we are so familiar with and often decry. That whole concept of just being together, and it's not about money, and about, it is about presents, but not necessarily how much you spend on them.
We've actually changed our philosophy about presents too, because I grew up in a household where the first thing we did when we woke up was rush the Christmas tree. And my dad would play Santa, right? Not really dress up or anything, but you know, he had this long beard and he would sit there and hand out presents like one at a time to each person in a row, kind of thing. And that was the tradition of our family, and we all had to give each other presents, and all of us usually went overboard in giving each other presents, you know, having bought each other presents and made each other presents. And we really went overboard. And I think by the time I finished high school, it was just overwhelming. Like, we were each spending, you know, upwards to $300 on each other. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And I thought, one day I thought about it and I thought, we've really taken it too far. And then by the time, you know, all of us had children and we were still gathering at Grandma and Grandpa's house in the Yukon, it got to the point where we thought, is this like me and Alex, basically? We said, is this what we want? And the answer is no. We don't want it to be about presents and how many presents and how cool and modern the presents are and how many of them were made versus how many of them were bought and how much was spent on it. We just didn't want that at all. And so when we moved back to Ukraine, we decided to, I guess you could say, merge the Ukrainian traditions with the, this is going to sound very strange, but merge some Ukrainian traditions with the traditions that I grew up with, and to erase some of the details about them. So, for example, on the 18th, we celebrated Saint Nick's Day, and we did it in a very similar fashion to how we celebrate Christmas, which is, my daughter would wake up in the morning and then she'd discover that the Saint Nick had come overnight, and there would be like three or four presents for her, including mandarin oranges, chocolate candy, and a book, and a dolly, right? And then same thing, something similar is what she can expect on Christmas. We don't go overboard on the amount of presents we bought. The idea is that there's a surprise. And there's a surprise waiting for her on the 18th, and then again on the 25th when we have Christmas, and then again in 1 week when we have New Year's Day, and then again for the old Christmas, I mean the Orthodox Christmas. So we space it out. We have four holidays, each approximately a week apart, for my daughter to have a present and this kind of feeling of a continued small but special holiday that continues for over 4 weeks.
So essentially we're talking a Christmas season, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's a Christmas season, but we don't go overboard in terms of our commercial view of this holiday. Generally, I'm on Facebook quite a bit, and I tend to ignore people's comments on Facebook at this time of year because a lot of them are just about shopping and stuff like that, basically.
So what are you looking forward to then after December 25th in terms of Christmas?
Well, it's like a season. So we're hoping that we can take out one or two days to go to Lviv to experience that, because that is really a special place to be at this time of year. You know, the lights, the center of the squares are lit up. And the roads are well lit, and the infrastructure is very nice to go out to, like, a cafe or a dinner or a concert or something like that, or to go into the churches. They have concerts right now of choirs and things like that. It's really nice time of year. So we're hoping to do stuff like that, to a little bit of a few excursions and a little bit of home time. And Nika gets to play with her friends, which is great because they have school off too. And that doesn't happen very much in Ternopil, to tell the truth, because I can't believe the school year here is so, like, they have a massive amount of homework from grade one. Like, she's sitting there doing homework for 5 hours. It's
wow,
terrible.
That is terrible for a little kid. How old is Nika?
She's 7 years old.
And doing hours of homework. Wow.
The school day ends at 1:10 in the afternoon. So the onus is on the parents to sit there for however many hours to do homework. You know, some of this is done in Canada. Some of this is done in class. I always thought, well, why is it so short here when it's, you know, 3 or 3:30 in Canada? And I think the answer is that what otherwise could be done at home by parents is actually, it alleviates parents of that burden because they actually do those tasks in class under the supervision of the teacher. So that's not really done here. All of their assignments are given to them to do at home, which really is a huge burden for parents.
Oh, absolutely it is. Especially, you know, both parents are working, so then it falls to the grandparents or whoever is looking after them, I suppose, or not.
Or those students fall behind in class, and it's not because they're stupid. It's because they don't have guidance in their homework because their parents are too busy or they don't have their parents around, their grandparents around. That's the sad thing about the education system here. That's what I do miss that about Canada. But she has a break from all that for 3 weeks. So that's a celebration in itself.
At Christmas time, 3 weeks. Wow.
It's 2 weeks usually, but for some reason this year they decided it would be 3 weeks. Maybe because of the protests.
Oh, right. Speaking of the protests, how is that affecting your family at Christmas, this Christmas?
It's actually not affecting us at Christmas per se, like, for example, in terms of a festive mood or anything like that, because I think that we're in a mind space that there's very little we can do regarding the protests that has any relation to that one day of the year. So for that one day of the year, or actually several days, because already I've basically turned off the protests in my head, I'm not going to, for a period of 3 or 4 days, I'm not going to watch any news. I'm not going to go on any websites that speak about it. Just I need that space for Christmas in my head. And so I think until now, it's something we discuss every day. We go into the kitchen and we discuss it multiple times every day. And anytime there's a kind of an update, someone's running into the kitchen and we're telling each other. So that's something that has been with us now for like almost a month, right? So we've decided that we've come home to enjoy Christmas. And we also came home to record some music. And we need to be in a particular headspace for that. And thinking about protests, these protests all the time and the political developments that are happening here in Ukraine is really kind of hampering that process. And so we just want to enjoy ourselves. We have very, very few times per year where we can all just be together and dedicate it to a specific feeling. We think that by shutting off the protests in our head for like 3 or 4 days, that will help us a lot.
Now, you spent some time living in Canada, and obviously Alex got the full Canadian immersion. What is his thought about December 25th in Ukraine?
Well, he, like his mother, kind of go out of their way to make the 25th special for me and Nika. They realize that they're doing it for us, and it's because they really feel for us not being close to Canada. You know, we're such a distance from Canada. And he misses Canada less because, you know, he didn't spend that long there. And for me, it was, you know, I lived there my whole life before coming over here. So it's about both him and my mother-in-law. For them, the 25th is a day to kind of, I guess you could say, make me feel at home, basically. Feel that this is my home and that I guess that they're respecting my traditions.
That is so typically Ukrainian. And yeah, so that was a wonderful wonderful story that you shared. Thank you so much for telling us about Christmas in Ukraine on December 25th, which is not Christmas for most people.
Just to return to one thing that I had mentioned about making music. So there is a story, that a really special Christmas story that had to do with us 2 years ago, because as I mentioned, it's not a native holiday for my husband. But one time 2 years ago, we came home for Christmas, and it was just, there was this awesome, awesome feeling in the air. And we spent all day in the studio, because we have a recording studio, and we record our own music. But on that particular day, we went into the studio, and he, for the first time in I don't even know how many years, he just said, "Okay, step up to the plate. It's your turn to go a cappella." And which is great, because I began as an a cappella singer. Before I met him, I was just mainly doing a cappella. I had only just started to work with other musicians when I met him. And until then, it was like several years of just performing a cappella and writing a cappella songs, basically. So for the first time in many, many years, he said, "Okay, you're leading the way. Step up to the microphone and just sing whatever comes into your head." And we recorded a bunch of songs, and some of them were inspiring enough that he joined in with improvised drum machines and percussion and synthesizers. And it was a really, really inspiring day. And at the end of it, he actually had a series of recordings. Because he had put everything on record mode, he had a series of recordings that he called the Christmas Sessions. And we originally hadn't made any decisions about that. They had just kind of been on the computer for a while. And every once in a while, we'd listen to them and we think how special that was. And it's too bad that it is all for our own ears, because it's so special, this mood. And it should be shared, and not just on Christmas Day. And finally, when, we released two debut albums in 2012. And so later on at the end of that year, this is when we had the sessions, he said to me, it would be good to release these sometime. And then, it's come a full year now. And he said, "I think the time has come. Let's put them out before Christmas." And because they were without lyrics, I said, I need some time to pull this together for the lyrics and to re-record the vocals. So basically, this is what we're doing during this Christmas season, is re-recording the vocals on those tracks. And it's not in time for our Christmas, and it won't be in time for the Orthodox Christmas, but we've decided to put them out in any case by the end of winter. And it's going to be an EP, and we're going to be calling it Winter Tales. So not the Christmas Sessions, because that would be misleading. People would think that that's music that you need to listen to for Christmas only. But we're going to be calling it Winter Tales, and we're hoping that that mood, that kind of Christmas special mood, without all the kitsch and the commercialism and the attachment to Santa Claus or Jesus, just the actual root holy mood is captured in that music, and that people will want to listen to it any time of the year.
Wonderful. So this is coming out very soon. Can we get a sneak preview?
Yes, I sent you a sneak preview of one of the tracks. And when I say sneak preview, it's very sneak, because the lyrics are not recorded yet for that. You're hearing the very rough version that we recorded on that particular day. And so the polished version with the new lyrics and stuff, it will be on the album, but this will definitely give you a good idea of the sound that we were after and what we think we've achieved. for that album.
Shauna McLarnon, thank you so much for sharing your Christmas, December 25th, 2013, special day with us. And for the music, look forward to hearing it. We'll play it in just a minute. But thank you once again. And I guess it's the day is just starting for us, but for you, it's you're 10 hours ahead. So I guess you'll be getting ready for bed soon. So we hope that you had a wonderful Christmas. Christos rozhdayetsya, veselych svyat. Ishchastlivogo Novogo Roku.
Thank you very much, Paulette. It was great talking to you. And Merry Christmas.
Same to you. And Shauna McLarnon of the duo Umagma. Here she is now, or here they are now, rather, with that a raw version of that Christmas session that will be out shortly on their CD, Winter Tales. I hope you enjoyed this week's feature interview from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In addition to interviews such as the one you just heard, Nash Holos is host to many other outstanding features produced by people who love to share their love of Ukrainian culture with non-Ukrainian speakers. From Ukrainian recipes and cooking tips to reviews of English language books on Ukrainian themes, views on Ukrainian politics and current affairs, culture, folklore, and of course great Ukrainian music, traditional and contemporary, by artists from Ukraine, Canada, and around the world. So join me, Pavlina, and my fascinating guests on the weekly radio broadcasts in Vancouver and Nanaimo. You can listen to the live broadcasts on air or online, or download the podcast and listen later in your own good time. You'll find program information, broadcast details, and podcast links at www.nashholos.com. So until next time, do pobaczenia.